Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you don't have a home church, we invite you to come up to Rancho Cucamonga on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and join us in a service of worship. If you can't travel up that far and you need to find a church home, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com and we'll help you find a church home in your area. We are blessed that you listen to the programming, and I would ask before we begin that you pray for a very good friend of mine. His name is Herman. He's been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he actually underwrites the Seed of Faith by himself. He pays for the programming, and I'd ask that you would pray for him. And if you'd like to help underwrite the Seed of Faith, you can donate through our church's website at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, www.com, and help us keep the message, the seed, on the air. Today we're going to look at the Pentecost that happened in the early church. In the Jewish calendar, Shavuot is the celebration of the first fruits, or the Feast of Weeks. And on the Feast of Shavuot, the Jewish people always gathered together in Jerusalem 7 weeks after the Jewish people celebrated Passover, being set free from captivity in Egypt. And in their exodus, they were given the Torah, or the Ten Commandments. Pentecost was about the law, the very words of God written on two tablets, the Ten Commandments. On the Feast of Weeks, on this particular day, the people were in Jerusalem. It's 50 days after Passover and the resurrection. Jesus has appeared to over 500 people as the resurrected Christ. The disciples are gathered in the upper room. The whole room is filled with tongues of fire, and they're filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit, and they begin speaking in tongues and other languages. The crowd of people gathered for Shavuot think that the disciples were drunk. Imagine Peter standing up to give the very first resurrection response. A resurrection response. I would give you an early so what. We should always be ready to give a resurrection response. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead mean to you? Email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com and tell me. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you? Peter got up on that very first day when the Holy Spirit fell and gave a resurrection response. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to have a long reading, but before we do, let us pray. Lord God, giver of life and breath, fill our lungs with the breath of life. Given of law and spirit, fill our hearts with fire to go out with holy boldness and preach the word. Fill us with the power and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 2, 14 through 41. Turn to your Bibles if you have them. If you need a Bible, email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com and we'll get you a Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call out today. call out. It's never too late. It's never too late to call out and be saved. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God. God set purposes and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. Verse 24, great verse. 2:24, but God, oh man, just underline that in your Bible. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 25, David said this about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he was at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Verse 31, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39, the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Just 50 days after the resurrection, Peter gives his resurrection response, and in doing so, he ushers in the age of grace. Somehow, Peter's lifetime experiences had prepared him for such a time as this. The situation in Jerusalem was not an inviting situation for Peter's first sermon. 50 days earlier, the Jews had Jesus crucified, and on this day, a huge crowd gathered, roughly 3,000 were gathered to the temple. What does this mean? They have had too much wine. This is the day Peter does his greatest preaching. A preliminary glance reveals several reasons why. His preaching was simple. Peter answered their question. Second, he told them about the resurrected Christ. And three, he enlisted a commitment. In our day, a preacher usually takes a text or a theme and develops what they are taught. And when I went to seminary way back then, my seminary professor who taught homiletics, that's a big word for preaching, he said, give them 3 points in a poem and get out. So we were taught 3 points in each message. That's what usually was taught. The theory was, it's easier for people to remember 3 points. If we go back 100 years, there were 4-point sermons. They were the norm. 200 years in the time of the Puritan preachers, they preach 8, 10, 12-point sermons. Maybe Peter was successful because he kept his message to 3 points. This first Christian sermon delivered by Peter to the crowd at the temple was Christ-centered. Peter preached Christ. He proclaimed Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension, all in 569 words. Today, I would like for us to briefly look at the power of Jesus' life, the prophecies of Jesus' death, and the promise of Jesus' resurrection in our response. The power of Jesus' life. Peter begins our message today with the words found in verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. Power, wonder, and signs are three ways the New Testament refers to miracles. In the book of John, we read of seven great miracles Jesus performed, beginning with the changing of water into wine and ending with raising Lazarus from the dead. The four gospel accounts of Jesus' life record more than 36, at least three dozen miracles that Jesus of Nazareth performed during his three-year ministry on earth. Peter's audience that day was aware of these acts of divine power, which God performed through him, right in their midst. These deeds of power, wonder, and signs that Jesus did were not done in a dark corner. The fact of this mighty miracles were common knowledge amongst all the Jewish people. The power of Jesus' life spoke for itself. And that's what I will tell you today. The power of Jesus' life speaks for himself. Pick up the Bible and read the stories. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you have a prayer concern, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We have been seeing some wonderful blessings and miracles through the prayer ministry of The Seed. If you'd like to be a part of The Seed ministry, just email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We've looked at the power of Jesus' life. The power of Jesus' life spoke for itself. The purpose of Jesus' death was part of God's plan. It was not an accident. Jesus' death was part of God's plan. It was not an accident. Listen again to how Peter tells us. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. The word handed over appears only here in the New Testament. Now that's really profound when you study it in the Greek, because when one word is only used one time, that has, I think, for me at least, has a deep meaning. And it's handed over is only used here, and it describes those who are handed over to their enemies or betrayed. The picture here is that God gave his son to be the savior of the world, and this act entailed delivering his one and only son into the hands of his enemies. That's deep. Stop and think about that. God takes his one and only son and puts him in the hands of his enemies. By God's design, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, delivered to the Jewish leaders who handed him over to the Romans for execution. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. And Peter now uses Psalm 16, written by King David, to get their attention. Jesus' life and death and resurrection fulfilled over 300 different prophecies. If the Israelites were not convinced by the miracles, surely the fulfillment of the prophecies of the law should convince them. Over 300 prophecies are fulfilled by Jesus. So you have the power of Jesus' life, you have the prophecy of Jesus' death, then you have the promise of Jesus' resurrection. The promise of Jesus' resurrection is found in verse 24, Acts 2:24. But God, I love that, but God. I think what I'm going to just stop for a minute and say, if you're struggling, maybe you're struggling with a relationship, maybe you're struggling financially, maybe you're struggling with your health, maybe you're just wondering where God is, look at Acts 2:24, but God. Maybe I would say, just say to yourself, but God. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. What powerful words of promise. God raised him up, freed him from death, impossible to be held by death's power. These words are the heartbeat of Christianity. The resurrection is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. Above all else, the apostles were witnesses of the miracles of Jesus' ministry. Now they are witnesses of his resurrection. They boldly proclaim that Jesus had risen from the dead. The resurrection had given the disciples voices of strength and hearts of courage. This is the same group of followers who were hiding in an upper room for fear of persecution. Now they are standing on the street corner shouting out the promises of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day they risk their lives for the resurrected Lord. When Peter said, "We are all witnesses," he probably waved his arms around pointing to the other 11. The Old Testament said, "An evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed." Peter turns and waves his arm at all the other disciples and says, "We are all witnesses." Peter's audience was not looking at two or three witnesses, but at 12 or more who had nothing to gain and everything to lose. If the Israelites were not convinced by the miracles or the fulfillment of the prophecies, surely the testimonies of over 500 people who had seen the resurrected Christ would confirm this truth. Today we believe that Jesus is the Christ based on the promises of his resurrection. Our response to the power, our response to the prophecies, our response to the promises of the resurrection is really our own resurrection response. Who is Jesus, and why should we believe in him? The apostles faced these same questions as they stood in the temple grounds in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. The evidence that Peter submitted is still irrefutable today. Here's our 3 points. The miracles attest that God was with him. The prophecies of Jesus proves that he alone was the promised Messiah. The resurrection of Jesus confirms beyond any doubt that he is the Son of God. Jesus is all we can imagine him to be, and more. If we give Jesus claims a closer look, we will never come away disappointed. I'm going to challenge you this week to pick up your Bible and look at the claims that Jesus has. You won't walk away disappointed. He is more than what we have heard, so much more. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the light that shines into our darkness. He is the bright morning star. He is the rock of our foundation. He is our Lord and our Shepherd. His claims are not empty, but the tomb sure is. Jesus is the fullness of God. He is limitless in his power and wisdom. He is without beginning of years or ending of days. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in all his divine attributes. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here is what we celebrate as we think of the Pentecost Sunday, or as we think about who Jesus is. God the Father sent Jesus, his only Son, who was born of a man, but yet was God, who performed miracles and died on the cross, fulfilled over 300 prophecies. This alone should secure our belief. But the Father and Son go one better. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is now given to those who believe. What a gift. The Spirit of Jesus is gifted to us. I love to call the Holy Spirit the identical twin of Jesus, because in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I must leave, but I will ask the Father to send Allos Parakletos," that's the Greek for another one, just like me. And the word Allos, it means identical. So the Holy Spirit is the identical twin to Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit. The so what question for today is not who is Jesus. The question is, what will you and I do with him? Better yet, I'll make it personal. What will you do with Jesus? What is your resurrection response to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? This is your so what, your daily homework for the rest of, really, the rest of your life, not just this week or this while you're listening to the program. Every day, every waking minute, even when you're struggling going to sleep, what is our resurrection response? Back on that first day of Pentecost, Peter preached to a crowd that scholars could say numbered into the 2 millions. And on that very day, Pentecost, the book of Acts states that 3,000 people believed and were added to the church. That's the birth of the church. God's going to take you and use your resurrection response. And I don't know who will believe, but God may use you to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to so many. This Jesus God raised up, and that all of us are witnesses. The disciples believed, they were filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the rest is history. Shavuot, celebrating the giving of the law, the word of God, and Pentecost is the celebrating of the giving of the Holy Spirit. My so what question for you this week is, what is your resurrection response? How are you going to respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks that your love is unfailing and unchanging. We give thanks, Lord God, that you sent your one and only Son, who lived, who did miracles, who died and rose again to give us life. Lord, help us to respond to the resurrection. Help us to go out and share our resurrection response with holy boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that for a moment here at the ending of the program, if you would just pray for a very good friend of mine. His name is Herman, and his wife is Barbara. And Herman actually underwrites all the programming for the Seed Christian Fellowship or the Seed Faith that you're listening to, and he's been underwriting it for a long time. And he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I just spent this last week with him, and I'd ask for you to pray for Herman. Pray for, he's a strong believer. He knows where his hope is, and the hope is in the power of the resurrection. But pray for his wife, Barbara. And I would also say, if you'd like to help support the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship or underwrite the Seed of Faith that you listen to week after week, you can go to our website at the www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and there's a link there. You can support the ministry of the Seed of Faith on the radio programmings that you're listening to. I want you to know it's never too late. It's never too late for God to work. It's never too late for God to heal. It's never too late for God to restore and reconcile. It's never too late for God to bring hope into your life. And God knows the plans that he has for you, and his plan is to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you go out and have holy boldness to share your resurrection response with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, and with each person that you meet. You get to change the world by your resurrection response. Know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.